Let us pray. Gracious Holy Spirit, bless and shape the humble and human words I speak, and the thoughts, feelings, and responses of those who hear, that this might be a time when we receive and are thrilled to share the news, Jesus is alive. Amen. You know, I love this story. I love Luke's version of this story. For me, it's a lot like one of those classic film lines from your favorite movies. You know, one of those lines where you've been waiting for it the whole movie. And you know it's coming, you know everybody in the film should understand it and be aware of what's going on, but they don't until they hear the line and you say it along with them. It could be when the usual suspects have been rounded up and Rick and Louis are walking off into the fog in the airport, and Rick says to him, "Louis, this is the beginning of a wonderful friendship." Or at the end, when everybody's filling the home of the Baileys, the money is pouring in, and Harry Bailey lifts up his glass and says to everyone, "A toast to my brother George Bailey, the richest man in town." Or maybe Scrooge, that wonderful morning when he surprises Bob Cratchit with a rise in salary and says to him, "Bob, I haven't lost my senses. I've come to them." That moment when them and us become us and we're all part of the story. I hear it in Luke's gospel on this day when those women, terrified, coming, seeking death, are told, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen." It's beautiful. I wait for it every Easter, and when it comes, I want to hear it again and again, because it is the declaration to all those who do not know, to all those who are still in the twilight of death and an old creation, that love has won. And this day is for all of us, not for those who were expecting it, not for those who were just aware that he was supposed to have this happen, but for those who doubted and for those who feared and for those who simply did not know. It's for all of us. I love this rendition of the resurrection. It's meant to convey the profound truth that this is for all of us. The great art critic and novelist Aldous Huxley called this the greatest painting in the world. This is The Resurrection by Piero della Francesca. It's about 1602. But this is a new era in the history of art. He does something here that was never done before in art and was copied ever after. He has what are known as two vanishing points, two points of perspective. He was a mathematician, Piero, and he did this painting in such a way that it was geometrically perfect. Jesus was the pinnacle, the base of the triangle is this humanity. And at the pinnacle, you have this one vanishing point, this one point of perspective which runs right through Jesus. Jesus looks right at you in this painting, and if you walked anywhere in this sanctuary, you could not escape his gaze. His eyes follow you. This is for you. At the base, of course, you have everyone sleeping. It's the image of the guards who slept through the night while the resurrection happened. And so it is a symbol for all of humanity, for Piero, how we still sleep when this great thing has taken place in which we might have a hope undying. And in humility, that's Piero. He is one of those sleeping at the foot, but his head is resting on the staff of Jesus to show that even while in his humanity he has yet not taken in the enormity of this event, he still leans on this truth for his life and hope. Now, those fellows at the bottom are painted from a different perspective. We are looking at them slightly looking up. Jesus, we are looking at directly. And the impact is that Jesus leaps out of that painting to those who are looking upon it. It's hard to see when it's a slide on a screen. But he comes alive through the art of Piero because he came alive for all of us on this Easter Sunday. Now, this is kind of a standard portrayal of Western art of the resurrection. You have Jesus triumphantly rising up. He's holding a great flag, almost a military-like flag of conquest, erect, a sign of triumph, and everyone else is falling away in awe. Here's another version of it again. Jesus rising up, those around him falling back in awe. Here's another one. Jesus glowing, rising, and at his feet, those sleeping, falling back in awe. It's an oft-repeated pattern. This is Rubens' version. But then there's another way. The way that the Eastern Church has portrayed this day to declare that this is the day for all of us, for believer and for those who do not yet understand. This is the day that has happened for us. This is the classic icon of the Eastern Orthodox Church. This is called Christos Anastasis, or Christ Risen. And here you have the light of Jesus, that blue light, surrounding him, and on either side of him, he is reaching out and taking hold of an old man and an old woman. The old man is Adam, and the old woman is Eve. Together, they represent all of humanity through all of history. No one is left out. At Jesus' feet, you see those two golden crossed doors, which are the gates of hell, which have been broken down. And underneath, and I don't know if you can make that out, in the darkness there, it's empty. Hell is empty. All that remains in hell are a lot of broken locks and broken chains. Another version of it. The same icon is repeated over and over again for the Orthodox Church. This is their declaration of what happened this day. They don't show Jesus coming out of the tomb. That was not for any human eyes. They show Jesus breaking down the gates of hell on that day and lifting all humanity into life. On the other side, on each side, you have Solomon and David and John the Baptist. On the other side, you have other characters of the Old Testament and the New Testament, all to declare that everyone is gathered on this day. And I like this image, and I don't know if you can see that, but again, the gates of hell are fallen down inside all the broken locks, but some of these icons do have a figure in hell. And that figure is death. Death is the only one left in hell. And death is bound there. Death defeated by death. This victory is for all of us. I've done a little close-up here. You notice when Jesus takes the arms of Adam and Eve, he's not taking, they're not reaching out their hands to him. He's not clasping their hands. He's grabbing their wrists. They cannot do this themselves. He is reaching out to them and pulling them into life. This is for all of us. It's a beautiful way of crossing the boundary between us and them, to us. Now, this is a man named Niska Him. Niska knew what it was to be in hell. He, as a 14-year-old boy, endured the killing fields of Cambodia. He lived there for a number of years as slave labor with his family, and then one day the Khmer Rouge had his family stand on the edge of a grave pit, and with hoes and machetes, they were massacred. 13 members of his family, including him, were hacked and left for dead in the pit. The men went away to get the female members of the family, and Niksa, still alive amidst the dead bodies of his brothers and father and uncles, crawled out and hid while he watched them come and hack his mothers and sisters and watched them fall into the pit. That day, Niksa developed the one goal of his life, which was to get vengeance on those who killed his family. He somehow made his way to a refugee camp and there lived for 5 years, thinking every day, fantasizing about the ways in which he would reach out and destroy those who had destroyed his life. After 5 years in that refugee camp, he was brought to Canada. And he began a new life here. Went to school, he got an education, he all the time devising new ways and new fantasies how he would kill those who had killed his family. But something happened in his time here. Somehow he came in contact with a Christian church. And through that church, he came in contact with Jesus Christ. And he found a new relationship, a new reason to live. He began to have a hunger for life, and a hunger for loving relationship with new brothers and new sisters. And it changed him, but he still hung on to his need for vengeance, and it ate at him, and it disturbed him. He didn't know how to release himself from that. Until one day, gradually, he realized that the love that held him was of greater purpose than the hate that destroyed him. And he forgave. He went back to Cambodia and he looked up those who killed his family. The villagers who knew them were afraid when he came, but he came into that village and he shook their hand and said, "I forgive you." He knew when they acted as they did, when they murdered his family, that they were in the darkness, that they were in ignorance, that they were captive to all those chains. He knew that he wanted to bring them out of that darkness. He now lives and works as a missionary in Cambodia, building schools and health centers and pulling people into life. That's Angela King. She's for 11 o'clock. She is part of an organization called Life After Hate. This is Hu Chi. He is a Chinese artist, and I'm going to finish with his picture of the resurrection. Hu Chi was the son of a university professor in China and a very educated and articulate mother who taught languages. Hu Chi, in the Cultural Revolution, was forced to work in the fields of China, because they had to drive out of him any pretensions of urban life or Western capitalism. And there he was a smart lad. He thought, you know, I don't like this working in the fields. I've got to find a way out. And he knew that one way out was to feed the insatiable desire for pictures of Mao Zedong. So he, by night, snuck off and went to an art teacher and asked him if he could teach him how to paint. And he did. In the course of learning how to paint, he discovered a picture by Paul Rubens of the Madonna and Child. And in that picture of Jesus and his mother, he had such a feeling of peace. So by day he would pick pictures of Mao Zedong, and by night he would paint Rubens' picture of Jesus and Mother over and over again. Eventually he was recognized for his gifts. They sent him off to study art in Germany, and he gained his doctorate there. He also became a Christian. He stopped painting pictures of Mao and started painting other pictures of Jesus. And this is his rendition of the resurrection. It's a beautiful way of bringing together us and them, because he bases it on techniques of Buddhist art. And Buddhist art paints calm, usually beautiful utopian renditions of nature, often in black and white. It suggests the simplicity and peace. He took that great tradition and lifted it up into the resurrection, giving color and shape. In this picture, you see around the figure of the announcing angel, the sleeping women, still not quite taking in everything that is happening. At the feet of this angel are the demons fleeing. And the overall impact is of the sense of energy exploding out from this announcement, which is for all of us. And there is not a militaristic flag raised, but the lily of peace and hope, to declare This day is for all of us. Let us pray. O gracious God, in a world where there is too much hate, too many explosions, too much division, help us to live in the truth of your resurrection for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.